John chapter 14. I want to look at a passage that's very familiar to us. A passage that you've probably heard many times, maybe at funeral time. This is not a funeral session by any means, but a passage in which we find comfort in. And there are two statements that Jesus makes in this passage, John chapter 14. We're going to look at verses 1 through 6. That, in my opinion, are statements that are probably the most remarkable about himself and what it means for us as well. Look at John chapter 14, verse number 1. It says, "Let your heart not be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come to you and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said, "Lord, if we did not know where you're going, how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." What a very awesome statement that Jesus makes for us. There is so many people out there today that, and if you've not heard this statement, you wait and you talk to enough people, you will hear it. That will tell you, "Well, I have my way, and you have your way, and we'll both go our ways, and we'll end up in the same place, and we'll enjoy heaven together." Now, a lot of times that comes in the middle of a debate or talking about the scripture because they don't want to admit that they're wrong, and I don't want to admit that I'm wrong, and our pride gets in the way. And instead of dealing with the situation, instead of looking at the scripture and finding out what it says, we would rather just say, "You just do your thing. I'll do mine. We'll both end up in the same place." But two very profound statements that Jesus makes in verse number 6. One, "I am the way, the truth, and life, and that there is no other way. No one comes to the Father except through me." In these statements that were made, there was a discussion with his disciples. Obviously, Jesus was on his way and knew that the time had come, that the very near he would have to go to the cross, and that he would ultimately die on the cross for our sins, and the disciples could not understand that. Rightly so. I don't know whether I would understand it either at that time. You've called me out of doing what I was doing to follow you, and now you're telling me you're leaving me. So I can understand their confusion with what's going on, but that prompted the question of, where are you going? How am I supposed to know the way if I don't know exactly where it is you are going? So in these such things, Jesus claims that there are three things. One, there's a way, that there is a truth, and that there's life. And then we're going to look a little closer today at each of these things. And what I want us to see is that Jesus is that way, that Jesus is the truth, that he is the life, and that he brings about the abundant life. And the reason I want this for us to understand this today, and the purpose, I guess, for what we're talking about is so that when we talk to folks and we understand that where they're coming from, that we explain to them that there is only one way, and we can show them that way. That there is only one life, and that we can show them that abundant life that he offers us, and that there is absolutely one truth, and that's God's truth. So first, the way. To be politically correct these days, you have to offer more than one way. Just look at our education system. And it's no longer okay that 1 + 1 = 2. We have to be able to give them another way to get to the number 2. Because it's not politically correct to do that. Oh, you can't tell me that there's only one way of being able to do something. That is impossible. Now we're going to find another way. And so what happens is, Jesus in this sense is not necessarily the political way of doing things. But there are only two ways and only one way that's going to lead to God. Let's look at that. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 13. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14 says, "Enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there which go choice of which path we want to choose. Obviously, being a Christian is a struggle. In Jude 3, we see beloved, when I give full diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it is needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. There is the need for us to be diligent because obviously being a Christian is not always the easiest thing to do. There are sacrifices that we have to make. That's why it says, take up your cross daily and follow me. Something that we have to choose every single day to do, not a one-time decision. And so obviously being a Christian is a struggle, and obviously the path that we're going to be on is going to be one that leads to God. It's going to be a difficult one. But we need to understand, and we need to get to the front of our minds as the foundation upon everything that we have, that there is only one way to God. Jesus clearly claims this in our passage today, John chapter 14 and verse 6. Peter would later proclaim later on in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. He would say, nor is the salvation in any tongue, for there is no other name under heaven given among men which we must be saved. He proclaims that there is no other way. He proclaims that there is no other name in which we can proclaim. This may sound politically incorrect, but Jesus states it nevertheless. There's only one path that leads to God, as we said. One way that we're going to be able to get to Him, and we need to teach people that. So how is it that we are students? How is it that Jesus is the way to the Father? Well, we read in places like Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17 through 18, where we serve a high priest. We also see the scripture throughout the scripture that he intercedes for us. There are different descriptions in which he gives to us, such like 1 John chapter 2, verse number 1, he is our advocate. In Romans chapter 8, and verse 34, he is the right hand of God. And then we see in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, that he, and only he, mediates between God and man. So by virtue of his life on earth, his death on the cross, and now the service of heaven, Jesus is truly our way to God. Now, Jesus is not only the way, but he is also the truth. There's an interesting situation that happens in John chapter 18 and verse number 37 and 38. You'll turn with me there. We'll read this. John chapter 18 and verse number 37. Here Jesus is obviously being fixed to go to the cross and being insulted, being hurled at him, and they're saying that he's done things that he hasn't done. And Pilate talks to Jesus and he says, Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? And Jesus answered and said, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Now look at verse 38. The question that Pilate asks Jesus then is, he said to him, what is truth? In a book called Adrift, Postmodernism in the Church, Phil Sander wrote this. There was a time in American culture when truth was not a slippery concept, it now appears to be with many. In his book, he goes on to cite that 91%, listen to this, 91% of Americans now believe that there is no such thing as absolute truth. 91%. Is there such truth, such thing as absolute truth? Is there a truth that whether we believe it or not is still the truth? Yes, it's right here. We have it. People need to know about it. People need to know that whether they believe it or not is still the truth, and that one day will be judged by it. There is absolute truth. Listen. listen to these verses. We don't have time to turn to each one of them. Listen to this.